Section 36 of the Algonquin Legends of New England. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Recording by Mary in Arkansas. The Algonquin Legends of New England, or Myths and Folklore of the Mi'kmaq, Passamaquoddy, and Penobscot Tribes by Charles Godfrey Leland. Section 36. How a Woman Lost a Gun for Fear of the Wiwilmekq. There was a man and his wife who had got together all they had for the fall hunt. They went up to the St. John's River. They left the village of Foxerbeka. They went 25 miles beyond it. They passed the falls on the upper side to get some game. They cooked and ate. They got ready to start again. They launched the canoe. Footnote. This story and the preceding are taken word for word from the Indian narration. The singular precision of minute details is very characteristic of many of these legends. End footnote. They shoved the canoe 25 feet from the shore. The woman turned and upset it. It went like lightning down the rapids. They had hard work to get ashore and lost their gun, traps, kettle, and everything. They escaped with great trouble. They had trouble to save their canoe. The man was in great grief at the loss of his gun. He sat down and sang, Digi, Sigi, Pesuk, Kiwin, Dich im Digil, Meal, Wug, Nuch. I am sorry, I am in great trouble. There came two Indians down to the portage where the man and his wife sat. They asked him why he was so sad. He told them all. One of them was Metulin. He asked of them, Could you tell your gun if you saw it? The woman cried quickly, I could. He was not pleased at her forwardness, but put the question again, when she as pertly answered, Yes, for her husband. He looked sternly at her and said, Are you sure? To which she cried, Yes, yes. Then he said, If you are very bold and not afraid of anything, you may get it again. And this too she took on herself, saying, Oh, yes, I'm not afraid. I'll get it, making no account of her husband. Then, by the order of the man, she went to a ledge just below the falls, where they are 75 feet high. There was a little projecting rock on which she could just sit, a horrible place. Below it was a dreadful eddy in which nothing could live. He helped her down to it, and she was in mortal terror, as such glib-tongued women generally are when there is the least danger. Then the man went away, and as she sat there, trembling and half dead with fright, she saw something come up out of the eddy, even out of the worst of it. It rose. It was an awful sight, a kind of monstrous head, with great forked horns and terrible eyes. She was stiff as a stone with fear. The lost gun lay crosswise on the prongs of the horns. It moved slowly on through the eddy, glaring at her. It came nearer and nearer. The gun was within her reach, but she was too frightened to touch it. Then the monster passed by and sank into the water, and was seen no more, nor was the gun. They got her back with trouble from the place where she sat. The Metulin was furious with rage at her, that he had taken such pains for nothing. He said, This serves you right for your imprudence and forwardness. Learn your proper place, and never undertake to do what is none of your business. He then condoled with the husband, but said, If you could give me all you could think of, I could never get your gun again. By this women may learn not to speak too quickly, or propose to do men's duties. Husami nizamma, wikut wi lene aga se mi rigam ma wi o pitlin. Passamaquoddy, too quick with the tongue, slow with the hands. Footnotes. Though the Wiwilmekq is a worm inhabiting the forest and found in dry wood, it is certainly identified or confused by the Passamaquoddy Indians with the alligator or some kind of a horrible water goblin, which appears to have many points in common with a Chepitchcalm or dragon of the Mi'kmaqs. This story was related to me by Thomas Josephs, now Indian governor at Princeton, Maine. Among various notes, I find the following. The Wiwilmekq becomes human at times, even now, 6 years ago, said T.J. I was in the woods collecting boughs, and I saw a Wiwilmekq on a tree. The thunder kept approaching the tree on which it was, and finally struck it. It seemed to me as if the worm had attracted the lightning. August 2, 1883. The Wiwilmekq is a small worm, sometimes 2 or 3 inches long. It is seen sometimes in the water as large as a horse. Then it has horns. It is a very horrible-looking little worm. This mysterious being is called Wiwilmekq in Penobscot. The correct pronunciation is very early Wiwilmekqu for both Penobscot and Passamaquoddy, but this would be a difficult utterance for anyone who has never listened to the Algonquin soft gutturals. Mrs. W. Wallace Brown informs me that the Wiwilmekqu is a snail. This would account for its being thought to inhabit both land and water. End footnotes. Story 2. Mugamot Adam, The Dance of Old Age, or The Magic of the Wiwilmekq, Passamaquoddy Legend. Of old times. There lived in a village many Indians. Among them was a handsome young man, very brave, a great hunter. And there was a beautiful girl. What was her name? Malehansquas, or Kaliwadazi. I don't remember which. But she was proud and high-tempered, and, what was worse, a great witch, but nobody knew it. She wanted the young man to marry her, but he was very busy getting ready for the fall and winter hunt, and had no time to attend to such a thing, and told her so very plainly. Yes, he must have been very plain with her, for she was very angry and said to him, "You may go, but you will never return as you went." She meant that he would be ill or changed. He gave no heed to her words. He did not care for her, nor fear her. But far away in the woods, far in the north, in midwinter, he went raging mad. The witch had struck him, when far away with her magic. He had with him an elder brother, a great brave, a very fierce man. He, not being able to do aught else, did the most desperate thing a Wabanaki Indian can do. He went down to the river and sang the song which calls the Wiwilmekq. Wikwomo Wiwilich, Wikwomo Mikchakbisko, Samawo Wiwilmekq, Kardup Kisuma, Sowa Sewa. I call on the Wiwilmekq. I call on the terrible one, on the one with the horns. I dare him to appear. It came to him in all its terrors. Its eyes were like fire, its horns rose. It asked him what he wanted. He said that he wished his brother to be in his right mind again. "I will give you what you want," said the Wiwilmekq, "if you are not afraid." "I am not afraid of anything," said the Indian. "Not of me?" "Not of you, nor of Michhunt, the devil himself. If you dare take me by my horns and scrape somewhere from one of them, with your knife," said the monster, "you may have your wish." Now this Indian was indeed as savage and brave as the devil, and he had need to be so to do this, for the Wiwilmekq looked his very worst. But the man drew his knife and scraped from the horn till he was told he had enough. "Go to your camp," said the worm, "put half the scrapings unto a cup of water. Make your brother drink it." "And the other half?" asked the Indian. "Give it to the girl who made all this trouble. She needs medicine, too." He returned to camp and gave the drink to his brother, who recovered. When the hunt was at an end, they went home. They arrived at night. There was an immense lodge in the town, and a dance was going on. The younger brother had prepared a cool drink, sweet with maple sugar, fragrant with herbs, and in it was the powder of the horn of the Wiwilmekq. The witch, warm and very thirsty from dancing, came to the door. He offered her the cup. Without heeding who gave it, she drank it dry, and turning to her partner, went on in the dance. And then a strange thing happened, for at every turn of the dance she grew a year older. She began as a young girl. When at the end of the room she was 50 years of age, and when she got back to the door whence she started, she fell dead on the floor, at the feet of him who gave her the drink, a little wrinkled, wizened-up old squaw of 100 years. Aha, yes. Widinet etuk hajin mugamat adam. This is the story of the Dance of Old Age, but you may call it Sektiga, the Dance of Death, if you like it better. Footnote. This extraordinary story was related to me by Noel Joseph at Campobello, August 26, 1883. I am indebted to Mrs. W. Wallace Brown for the incantation song. The Wimomek has, as it appears in several tales, an extraordinary resemblance to the Norse dragon. It cures mental diseases. It seems to be the same with the Chepichkalm. End footnote. Another version of the Dance of Old Age, Passamaquoddy legend. It was in the autumn, the time when Indians go up the rivers to their hunting grounds, that two young men left home. They ascended the stream. They came to a branch where they parted, one going alone, another with his married brother. This latter, with the brother, had left in the village a female friend, a witch who had forbidden him to go hunting, but he had not obeyed her. And she had cause to keep him at home, for when he was afar in the woods and alone, he met one day with a very beautiful girl who fascinated him and gave herself to him. And when he said that he did not know how to conceal her from his friends, she told him that she was a fairy and could make herself as small as a newly born squirrel, and that all he need do was wrap her up in a handkerchief and carry her in his pocket. When alone, he could take her out, enjoy her company, and then reduce and fold her up and put her away again. He did so, but from that hour, while he carried the fairy near his heart, he began to be wicked and strange. This was not caused by her, but by the girl at home. He was entirely changed. He grew devilish. He refused to eat, and never spoke. His sister-in-law began to fear him. When she offered him food, he cried out, "Unless I can devour one of your children, I will have nothing." When his brother returned and heard all this, he too offered him meat, but met with a refusal and the reply, "Give me one of your little children," to which he answered, "The child is so small that it will not satisfy you. Let me go and get a larger one." Then he ran to the village and informed his friends of what had come over his brother. And as they knew that he was about to become a Kewahqu, Chinooi, they resolved to kill him. But there was a young man there, a friend of the sufferer, who said that he could save him. So all who were assembled bade him try. And when night came, he went apart and began to sing his Metulun, or magic song. When it ended, there was a loud sound as of some heavy body falling and striking the earth, which fairly shook. The next morning he called all his friends and the married brother, and showed them a human corpse. "Now leave me," he said. "Go to my friend and tell him that I have food for him." The Indians did so, and in horror left the two cannibals to devour their disgusting meal. When the insane youth was satisfied, his friend asked, "Have you had enough?" He replied that he had. Footnote. The human body which supplied the meal was probably in reality a deer or some such animal. End footnote. Then the magician said, "You are bewitched by the girl who forbade you to go hunting. She knew you would find a maid better than she is. Now come with me." They went to a small lake. They sat down by its side. The sorcerer began his magic song. And as he sang, the waters opened. From the disturbed waves rose a huge Wiwilmekq, a creature like an alligator, with horns. And as the terrible being came ashore, the magician said, "Go and scrape somewhat from his horn and bring it here." The young man had become fearless. He went and did as he was bid. He scraped the horn and brought the scraping. "Now, my friend," said the magician, "let us try this on a tree." There was a large green beech growing by them. It was simply touched with a fragment from the horn, when another color spread all over the bark as rapidly as the eye could follow it. In an instant it was dead, and a few minutes more it fell to the ground, utterly rotten, as if it were a century old. "Now," said the sorcerer, "we will experiment with this on the witch who wishes to destroy you." So as it was night, they went to the village. A dance was being held, and the beautiful tall witch, having paused to rest, the two men approached her. The young man placed his hand on her head. He held it in a scraping of the horn of the Wiwillmekq. As he did so, she grew older in an instant. She became very old. A pale color rippled all over her. She fell, looking 100 years, dead on the floor, shriveled, dried, and dropped to powder. "She will not trouble you any more," said the sorcerer. "Her dance is over." This is the same story as the preceding, but I give it to show how differently a tale may be told by neighbors. In one, it is the spritite inur ia formai, the wrath of rejected love, which inspires the witch to revenge. In the other, it is jealousy. In one, she inflicts madness. In the other, she turns him into a cannibal demon, as Loki, when only half bad, was made utterly so by getting the, quote, thought stone, end quote, or heart of a witch. This legend was sent to me by Lewis Mitchell. It is written not by him, but by some other Passamaquoddy, in Indian English. End of section 36.